This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We've all gathered together to pay tribute to our dear Rebbe, Rosh Yeshiva, Harav Gaon, Moreinu v'Rabbeinu, Harav Aaron Walkin, Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Livracha. I'm getting the chills as I speak and just mention the names and see the pictures and see the family and see the Avreichim and the community all gathered together. Morav Rabotai, as we all know, we're in Chodesh Nisan. Nisan is a month of hope. And during the month of Nisan, there are no hespedim. But why are we all gathered here together, Morav Rabotai? Because we're going to learn from the life of the Rav Zatzal from the Rosh Yeshiva. We're going to learn how we should live our lives. We should learn about the chashivut, the importance of learning Torah, the importance of taking our community to the next level, which was his main mission. Baruch Hashem, I had a zchut to be close, very close to the Rav Zatzal. Probably 15, 16 years. Yishtabach Shemalad, it was amazing to ask Shailot, to devise backwards and forwards, to learn together, to grow together, to build this community together. And this past year has been very, very difficult for us all. But one thing he would always tell us is, we need to continue strong. You have to always be happy. You have to build. You have to do. And I'm so proud that the family is here today, the children, Shiurim. They're continuing the legacy of the Rav Zatzal, of the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal. And Baruch Hashem, thanks to so many members of the community, we were able to do a Siyum HaShas. We're going to, Be'ezat Hashem, tonight start off the evening by finishing Talmud Bavli, and we're going to ask the children, Pinchas, Yitzchak, Shleiman, Naftali, Baruch Ber, Yisrael Meir, to come up, and we're going to, Be'ezat Hashem, start off with the Siyum HaShas. We're going to also ask from our dear friends of the community that also finished Mesach Dod, Talmidim of the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal. We're going to ask from Rafi Yusubov, we have Yehuda Nisanov, and we have Shamsiv, Michal Shamsiv, and Barry as well, Adam Sionov as well, a few others, including myself, Ania Katan, Baruch Hashem, I was able to do Daf Yomi, thanks to the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal. We did Masechet Barachot, for all of you that remember, this Siyum was huge. It was the last public event, more or less, before the pandemic. The place was packed. There was no room to move. And I took it upon myself, together with the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal, to continue Daf Yomi, even during the pandemic. I was Misayim Shabbat, Erevin, we were basically finishing Pesachim. But I didn't do a Siyum, because I couldn't. It was too difficult. But Morav Rabotai, tonight I'll also be Mishtatev in the Siyum on the side. We'll say the Hajjim together. Pinchas, please.
The last few lines of Masechtas Megillah speak about the halachas of Sefer Torah. Mara says, Amar Rabyanai Bered Rabyanai Sava Mishmed Rabyanai Rabba. Mutav Tigalal Hamid Pachas. It's proper that the cloth wrapping of the Sefer Torah be rolled around it. Ve'al Yigalal Sefer Torah. But the Torah scroll should not be rolled upon the cloth in order to wrap the scroll in it. The Mishnah says, Vaidaber Maishas Mayadeh Hashem al Bnei Yisrael. And Moshe declared the Mayadim Hashem to the children of to the Bnei Israel. Mitzvasam Shiyu Kairim Aisam Kal Echad V'Echad Bizmanu. This indicates that there is a chiyuv to read each and every Yom Tov portion at its appropriate time. Rashi says that we should. This teaches us we need to learn the halachas before the Yom Tov for the Yom Tov. Tanu Rabbanan. Moshe Tikein Lahem Li Yisrael. Shayu Shalim Vidarshim Binyanai Shal Yaim, that they should inquire upon and expound upon the matters of the day. And they should learn the halachas before the Yom Tov. Hilchis Pesach BaPesach. They should learn the halachas of Pesach before Pesach. Hilchis Atzeres BaAtzeres. They should learn the halachas of Shavuos before Shavuos. Hilchis Chag BaChag and halachas of Sukkos before Sukkos. Hadron Halach B'nei Ha'ir. Mishlikala Masechtas Megillah. Hadron Allah Masechtas Megillah v'Talmud Bavli. Hadron Alan. Daitan Allah Masechtas Megillah v'Talmud Bavli v'Daitan Alan. Like Nisnashay Minach Masechtas Megillah Tambavli Vilah sisters they be none. La ba alma hadin vilah ba alma dasi. Yehi ratzayin mufanecha adinai aleheinu aveseinu shetehei sarascha mnaseinu ba'aylam hazeh utehei imanu la'aylam haba. Hanina bar papa, Rami bar papa, Nachman bar papa, Achai bar papa, Abba Mari bar papa, Rafram bar papa, Rachish bar papa, Sorcha bar papa, Ada bar papa, Daru bar papa, Harav na Adonai Eloheinu as Divrei Sarascha b'finu fias amcha beis Yisrael. V'nia kulanu anachnu v'tzatzeinu v'tzatzei tzatzeinu v'tzatzei amcha beis Yisrael. Kulanu yaydei shemecha v'laim beis arsecha l'shma. Me'ay v'ayis sechak me'inim tzvaisecha. Ki la'aylam hi li. Yihi li v'tamim v'chukecha. L'man lai eivash la'aylam lai ashkach b'kudecha. Kivam chisan. Baruch ata Adonai l'amdei. Amen, amen, salavat. Maidem anachnu loach adinai aleheinu aseinu. Shasamta chalkenu miyashve beis hamedrash. Vilay samta chalkenu miyashve kranas. Shaanu mashkimen behe mashkimen. Anu mashkimen lidivre taira. Behe mashkimen lidvarm betalim. Anu amelim behe amelim. Anu amelim umkalim schar. Behe amelim beinam kalim schar. Anu ratzim behe ratzim. Anu ratzim chayal maba. Behem ratzim lebe'er shachas shenemar va'ata lehim zaridim lebe'er shachas anche damim umirma layachzu yimeim bani avdach ba. Yehi ratzim milfanecha adinai alehi hay kishem shazartani v'sayim v'sach shayim talmud bavli kain tazrani v'haskil v'sachas usfar macher mulsaimam lilmai dolame lishma v'lasais v'kai beskal divrei salmu tarasecha b'yahava v'schos kal atanam v'amarayim v'salmid ha'chamim yamad li v'zari shalai samosh ha'tayra mipi v'pi zara v'zara zari ad oilam v'siskayim vi v'lecha tancha aysach v'shach v'cha tishmar alecha v'akitzaitza hi tisichecha ki vi yirbu yamecha v'yasifu v'cha shnais chayim Ayrech Yamin Bibina Vismaila Aisha Vachavait Adinai Aizla Amma Yitain Adinai Varecha Samai Vashalayim. Say Kaddish. Yiskadal Vizkadash Mei Rabbah Yamadi Wasim Eschadasa Uchaya Messiah Laaska Yasin Chaye Alma Ulmivne Karta Dirushlein Ulshachlala Heikle Begava Lamekar Pachana Nuchra Minara La Sava Pachana Vishmaya Lasre Yam Lakucha Brichu Bilachuse Vikare Vias Machor Kane Vikare Mishite Chaye Chay Nuvyan Mechay Nuchay Nuchal Beis Yisrael Bagalab Isman Karib Imru Amein Dehei Shmei Rabah Mirvarach Yalam Omei Omaya Yis Barach Yishabach Yis Bar Bishrei Mam Yis Nasei Yis Adar Yis Alev Yis Alol Shmei Diyucha Brichu Lei Lavin Tabr Chasav Vishir Asad Toshmu Chasav Vinachm Asad Amiram Yalmav Imru Amein Al Yisrael Bal Rabbanan Val Tamidei Val Kol Tamidei Samidei Hain Gal Kol Mandaskin Bar Raisa Divasra Hadei Vivu Asar Vassar Yehei Lohim Chayim Shlomar Rabba Fina Bechizda Barachamin Chayim Arichim Zayim Arichim Erkan Arvim Kandum Amushnaya Ve'arab Imru Amein Yehei Shlomar Rabba Min Shemayim Chayim Chayim Olein Val Kol Yisrael Imru Amein Asa Shalayim Imre Ma V'yath Shalom Olein Val Kol Yisrael Imru Amein.
Okay, Morai Rabotai. As we all know, the Rav Zatzal has been teaching in Queens over here for many decades, for many years. But unfortunately, there was a small period of time where the Rav stopped coming to Queens, and the community definitely felt it. But Baruch Hashem, 5 years ago, more or less, Chazdi Hashem Chazak had the zchut to partner together with the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal to restart the Bet Midrash and the Kola that started by Rabbi Chaimov many, many years ago. And Baruch Hashem, Chazdi Hashem, we see the fruits of Baruch Hashem, the labor. We see Baruch Hashem, the Balabatim, we see the Bacharim, we see the Avreichim, many which already are Rabbanim of Kehilot, Baruch Hashem, Chazei Hashem. But there was one man that really, really took this project to heart. And the moment he met the Rabbi Zatzal, we could say they were best friends in a sense.
But it was an old mamash, a Talmud Rebbe relationship par excellence. They're in touch. I could attest to this almost on a daily basis. Many of us of the Balabatim that are here today are thanks to this individual. We'd like to start the evening by asking my dear brother-in-law Moshe Staib to say a few words. Moshe Bachavu. Good evening, everybody. I'm not sure why I'm speaking first, but this is the way they set it up. I read this week something interesting. It talks about in Sefer Shemos, the pasuk it says, "Elokei masecha lo taaseh." Right? You shouldn't make an idol. And the next pasuk is right to keep Pesach. So I read this week, and it was an interesting question. It makes a lot of sense. The Torah juxtaposes two very random psukim. One is telling you not to have an avodah zarah, and then right the next pasuk tells you to keep Pesach. What does one have to do with another? So I saw interesting. It says, we all know, that a person who gets angry is like he served the avodah zarah. And he wrote over there, I guess, Pesach is very synonymous with people. They need to clean, they need to, make sure there's no chametz in the house. I guess it's a moment of a lot of anxiety. And sometimes a person may lose his cool a little bit. And therefore, the Torah juxtaposes these two psukim to tell you, in this time of high anxiety, you've got to make sure the house is ready to go, clean for Pesach, make sure, don't get angry. Why? Because it's like you're serving a avodah zarah. Lo aleinu, chas v'shalom. There are two things, right, that it says that you cannot bring into the Mizbeah. Ki chol se'or v'chol devash lo taktiru imenu shel Hashem, the pasuk says. Se'or is sour dough. Sour dough, right, it rises, exactly the opposite of matzah. That's compared to ga'ava. Right? There are two midot that we should never also serve Hashem with. One is gava and one is kaas. One is anger. Gava and anger. So kichol so'o v'chol devash. How does devash compare to anger? So I read over there, it said, the bee has a stinger. And that stinger is called achas. Ayin, chaf, samet. If you scramble the letters around, comes to kaas. So these two midot are two midot that we're not supposed to serve Hashem with. There's no room for those midot. Why is all this, and how am I going to connect it? Baruch Hashem, I don't know why, I had the zchut to be very, very close to Rebbe, to Rebbe Wolkin. And these are the two midot I never saw in the Rav. These are exactly the two midot I never saw. And when you're around a person, as much as I was, you see a person in an hour a day, you can get away with it. But Rebbe, Gava, I don't know what that word means when it comes to Rebbe, and Kaas, I've never seen. Rebbe was the epitome of Chesed, of caring about every single individual. I attribute a lot of my growth, and I didn't, like I heard in the Shloshim, a lot of people were speaking, I attribute a lot of my growth to him. I didn't even realize when I was around him what he was doing to me. I am a kind of guy, I thought nobody in the world could change me. They've tried in yeshiva. When I was in elementary school, they failed. In high school, they failed. Or Walken's also going to fail. But let me try. And slowly but surely, Baruch Hashem, he's made a huge impact in my life. I attribute the way I used to think to myself, if I'm not learning 24 hours a day, man, maybe something's wrong with me. I open up, I'm trying to learn, I'm only doing an hour a day. It's also the satan. Rebbe Wolkin used to take my kohot and he used to tell me, Moshe, go to work, make a kiddush Hashem at work. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. Go make a kiddush Hashem. You're working, you're in business, go show people the way a religious Jew is supposed to act. And through these tidbits, I guess, every single day, Baruch Hashem, I was able to find simcha in what I was doing and find value in myself, even though I'm not like the ideal what I'd like to be. But he showed me that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. This is why you're here. I don't want to hold for too long, but I do have a lot of Akar Satov to the family, to the Rebbetzin, to the children. You know, I asked in the Levaya, you know, I wanted to say something, and somehow I fell right in between all the children. And I know why. It's not Stam, nothing happened Stam. It's because Rebbe Be'emet, you know, people saying he feels like a center of attention. I know it's a center of attention. I know that you know, he meant so much to me, and I meant so much to him. And it was a big bracha in my life. I davened for it one Yom Kippur, and Kadosh Baruch Hu answered me. And I know that Rebbe's watching over me, and now watching over all of us. And he should continue being a melitz yosher to all of us. And Bezat Hashem, we should be able to reunite Bezat Hashem in Tchiyat HaMetim and see his smile once again. Thank you all for coming tonight. Thank you.
Shkach Rabbi Naimitz for joining us. Thank you. Moreover, we have a lot of chashuv rabbanim. I like to categorize it as follows. There is a senior avrechim, which are rabbanim, and former or the current junior set. And Baruch Hashem, many of them are still on their way. I know that they are. They Baruch Hashem are busy with their kilot, with their avodat hakodesh. But one man that I know for a fact that the Rebbe Zatzal was very, very close with. And in a sense, I believe that the Rebbe Zatzal had the zchut to take credit for who he is today, is one that is needs no introduction to this crowd. He's the Rav of many in this community over here. He's the Rav of congregation, Or HaTorah. Let's ask Rav Rafaz of Alun of Shlita to say a few words.
Good evening, everyone. Before we know it, the year already passed, and now it's time for us to look back, to recollect, to reflect on what we lost. The truth is, I didn't prepare anything organized to speak about. But I had the seichel to call and ask, will there be speakers? And they said, yes, you might be called on. And I understood that's going to be for sure speaking. So with a few minutes in the car, I was just trying to think of how I would characterize my Rebbe of Aaron. This year, when the guys were pushing very hard, everyone should take Daf Yomi. They said that the wall can push them very much. He wanted everyone to be involved in learning. So I discussed it with a certain friend of mine in Kol. Told him the daf. He says he doesn't have time for it. It's very, very time consuming. He's busy, he has family, he has obligations, etc. So he tells me that he has a good friend. There's a large family, larger than his, 7-8 kids. And he also asked him one time, why don't you do the daf? He learned in yeshiva, your Talmud Chacham went, when are you going to finish Shas? So the person told him, see my kids? He pointed at his kids, 7-8 kids, says, this is my Shas. I'm thinking now that if Rabbi Wolkin would be standing here, he would be saying, this is my Shas. And the truth is, outside of this restaurant, 5 miles this way, 5 miles that way, in Lakewood, and there are people that have moved down to Eretz Yisrael and other places as well, that's all his Shas. What do I mean by that? Learning the daf requires dedication. It requires energy. And if you're teaching the daf, you have to be clear, you have to be composed, you have to make sure that people don't knock you off with their questions. It takes a lot of energy. And dealing with people is way harder than learning shas. Especially when you have to deal with people that each one comes with his own unique problems. With his way of teaching him, his way of speaking to him. Some people like jokes, some people like serious things, there are people that like deep thoughts, there are people that like just stories and mashalim. And somehow, when you came to Rabbi Wolfen Shir, everybody walked away happy. Everyone walked away satisfied. And it wasn't just because he spoke about a different array of subjects, it's because he spoke to every person, literally. You ask his sons, in the earlier tapes, there was speaking back and forth, back and forth. In fact, Rebbe was very, very kind at those days. He let people talk and talk and talk until it got to a point where he would say, listen, it's my shir, as he'll tell you, I'm sitting here and you're sitting there, so you have to listen to what I'm saying. But because of this loving interaction, people just came, and that's why I came. Because every person found something in Rebbe Wolfen that he could connect to. And even though it started as a Sunday shir for me, then it became a couple of times a week, and then it became daily, and then it started to come for afternoon as well, and all of a sudden the person became attached. And Baruch Hashem, I had this chus, I stayed around for a little while, not as long as I should have, but there were people that came for a few months, there were people that came for a year or two, and they left, they left other places. But every time you would meet those people, they would ask, how's it walking doing? I miss those days. Rabbi Yaniv mentioned there was a few years that Rabbi Wolfen wasn't able to come. He moved to Lakewood. He wasn't the same. He wasn't able to drive back and forth. I remember somebody came over to me and saying, is there a shear in Queens, the Chumash? I said, there's a shear here. Said, no. You remember like Rabbi Wolfen shear? Like that type. It was something that you had to see, to experience, to be able to understand what he was talking about. A very, very special type of a shear, because the person who was giving it was also very, very special. He treated us like a father treated his children. I remember shortly before, about a year and a half, in the summer, the Aguda came to Or Yosef Chai to try to encourage people to participate in the Siyum. And Rabbi Wolfen spoke before one of the lay leaders of Aguda spoke. And if I'm not mistaken, it was Gissinger that was lifted that day, or Luth. And Rabbi Wolfen got up and he said, we lost somebody today, a very, very good person. That's how he started up the thing. I believe it was Gissinger, Shlomo Gissinger. And he said these words, and I think it applies very, very much to Rabbi Wolfen himself. He said, who was Rabbi Gissinger? Those that don't know, he was a Rav, a very Chashuv Posek, an Av Beis Din. And what he was well known for, Rabbi Gissinger, was the fact that he was very devoted to his Kehillah. So Wolfen said these words. He says, there was no Rav Gissinger. Whatever you needed, that's what he was. You needed a doctor, he became a doctor. You needed somebody to Shalom Bayis, Shalom Bayis. You needed somebody to pass in a Shalom and Choshev Mishpat, he became that. There was no one personality that you could call Rav Gissinger. And that, the truth is, that's what Rav Wolfen was. We came to him when we were young, way, way back. This one had problems with his parents. The next one had problems because he didn't know which yeshiva to go to, if he should stay, if he should go. Could we learn this way? Could we learn that way? And for every single person, he had an ear. For every single person, he devoted time. And it wasn't just time there. He would come back to you the next day and say, you know, I called some people, I looked into it for you, maybe speak to this one and speak to that one. And we all thought, oh, it's just doing me a favor. And we found out afterwards that, no, for every single person in that cheer, that's how dedicated this person was. Unfortunately, I didn't pick up those qualities. I don't think I'm able to become like this type of a person that serves everyone on their frequency, the way that they want, with the time that they can give. And on top of all that, also maintain a schedule and learning. He was able to do that. I was not able to pick it up on it. But I can tell you with certainty, my growth, like Moshe Zayi said, my growth pretty much is the Wolfen family. And that's, I'm referring to the Rebbetzin, I'm referring to those kids over there, the troublemakers that used to break stuff in yeshiva, the driving back and forth in the various cars with their various glitches, and watching how the family functioned at home, and how some kids, we're not going to say what they did, but Baruch Hashem, all those things had an effect on those people that were able to have these type of interactions. They built us, because we didn't come from such homes, we had no idea what it meant to be a Ben Torah. We had very, very warped, weird ideas. Maybe it just means learning, maybe it means a long davening. And here was a person who sat down with you, and he kept saying, just be normal, just be normal. I mean, I didn't even understand what he meant. What do you mean normal? Everybody's normal. And then he told us, no. Normal is not a common thing to find. It's something that a person has to develop. And with these type of stories And Mishalim, slowly, slowly, shir after shir, we developed personalities. And when we went to other places, people would ask me, where did you learn? I said, I learned in a Kiryas Yeshiva. Someone told me, no way, there's no way. It's just impossible. You have too much background. I thought about it. I said, I don't know what I went through. Apparently there was somebody there that was pumping us with Hashkafa, pumping us with Musar, and basically built us up. That now, Baruch Hashem, you have people, I could name them, they will be embarrassed. There are people here that run schools, there are people that have run shuls, there are people that became experts in kashrus, in other areas of halacha, and all of these people passed through Wolfen's hands. And it wasn't they just passed and they went through, he molded these people. Afterwards, when they went on to other places, they already had a skull, they already had a beginning. They were able to function as independent in the Torah. And that's what he did for this community. That's why it's such a terrible loss for all of us here. Because there's so much more work that needs to be done. So much more growth that needs to be accomplished by so many other people that are missing this type of a connection. It's a loss that's very sorely felt. Hopefully, all of us, Talmidim, and all the people that attended this year, that saw him, can take something away from that personality and carry it on further, so that this will be we will be his learning, his living Shas. The books that he wrote, the work that he put into us, that we'll be walking away with that and giving him a tremendous sense of nafas. I was looking now when you were saying the Hadrana. I can imagine how he would feel sitting over here. He'd probably be smiling from ear to ear. You have no idea the kind of smile he had. That picture over there doesn't do justice. When he saw his Talmidim making a seal, his Talmidim making a proper kosher, I remember he used to go to chasnas, so there was separate. For him, this was like his own son's bar mitzvah, his own son's chasana. He had tremendous, tremendous nachas from watching this event. And those of us that can increase it by giving it over to others, you have no idea how much nachas you're giving to him. The fact that he shown that he left a stamp in this world, that's not going to be erased for a long, long time. You should be zocher to see Rebbe with Mashiach Tzidkenu b'meher b'yameinu amen.
We're going to mix and match the different speakers for tonight. At this time, I'd like to call upon an individual that I had the zchut to meet at my father's shul, Sheyeh Bariah, at the youngest of Forest Hills. And I remember giving shiurim over there, he was sitting in the front row. He looked like, I don't know how to say this right in a way not to offend him, chas v'shalom. But, you know, a colorful kippah, small kippah on the front. He was very interested in learning, and he asked me, is there a yeshiva somewhere I can learn more Torah? I told him I have the perfect yeshiva, the perfect rabbi for you. And Morava Watai, the rest is history. Yishtabach Shem Al-Ad. And we're talking about Rav David Kalman Shlita. V'chavad Rav David.
You know, I was up last night. And I had a daf. I had a daf left to finish my third Masechet this year since Rabbi passed. And I sat on Rebbe's yard side, I didn't even plan it like this. I have one daf left, and I was so tired, I was like, I gotta finish this. And for me, you know, to say one word in Aramaic can take an hour. But the Rebbe gave me Ratzon, that you should push, and you should push, and you should push. And it's the main thing. And I finished last night. I had a light lit up for him, and actually, when the book came out of the Rebbe after he passed away, I actually couldn't look inside of it. It's called Rebbe Rebbe. I was in too much pain from what happened. He was my second father, in every real sense of the word. And I, for the first time, looked back at it last night after I finished Masechet Chagiga. And I was reading about him speaking about his grandfather. I was crying like a baby. And I guess you're not supposed to do that in Nissan, but I was up all night last night. So if I'm not speaking clearly, I'm sorry. I just a long night. But I want to tell you that the Rebbe was very, very special. I remember the first time that I met him. He used to tell people this proudly all the time. Anybody knew who came in, he said, you see this guy? And they said, yeah. He said, David, tell him how it started. I said, what? He goes, tell him how it started. Tell him how we started. I was like, again? He said, yeah, tell him. So, okay, fine. So I came in. I told the Rebbe, hi, my name is David. I had the small little kippah. You could barely see it on the side of my head. It was multicolored. I was working out a lot back then. I lost all of that, thank God. Filled it up with Torah instead. Hopefully my wife is happy. And I told him, listen, Rebbe, I've never been in a yeshiva before. I've never learned Chumash before. I've never seen a Gemara before. I don't know Hebrew. I don't know Aramaic. I don't know Mishnah. I became Baal Tshuva 5 seconds ago. Can I become a rabbi? The Rebbe looked at me with all sincerity, and I didn't realize at the time that there is a million books. And I didn't realize that the learning never ends. I thought it was like college, you know, you go to school for a few years, you pass a test, you're this. And I sat down, I remember the first 2 years I was in yeshiva, I didn't even learn anything because I was so overwhelmed, I just kept looking at all the books. And I said, well, how am I ever going to start? And he looked at me, held my hand, and he said, David. I said, yes. He said, do you want? I said, yeah. He says, okay, let's do it. And right before he passed away, he made me a Rebbe, a rabbi. There's no words. He actually saved my life. Actually saved my life. I remember I was... you know, I spoke a little bit about it. People who know me know better, but I went through a lot of mental health issues. I had tremendous depressive episodes, even and especially most intensely after I joined the yeshiva. You know, it's not easy to grow up secular and white and Ashkenazi and then be surrounded by plofol. No, I'm just kidding. And then come here. And all of a sudden, you're religious. But there's a big bridge in between that whole thing. That you can look the part and you can dress the part. But there's a very, very narrow bridge in between those two places. And it was a very painful transition for me. Even though I was enthralled, you know, Hashem exists and I have meaning in my life now, thank God. But it's very hard. And I remember I stopped going to yeshiva for a few months. The Rebbe called me every day. Every day. And he was calling everybody else here every day. And he would try to give me chizik, whatever he could give me, whatever he could muster. I remember one time, it was months and months and months, he didn't see me. And he called me. And he said, David, you know, my grandmother, I think it was a grandmother, they botched her surgery as she was giving birth. And she was paralyzed for the rest of her life after that. And every day I saw her, she had a big smile on her face. And I asked her, Grandma, how are you always happy? You should have been walking your whole life, and you're never going to walk again. You haven't left your bed. How can you be happy? And she said to him, because tomorrow's going to be a better day. And I remember he told me this on the phone and I just started crying. How he was trying so hard to help me, to give me any type of chizik at all. And this was the Rebbe, that he fought for every one of us. I remember the first time that I heard him teach, and I realized there was a pattern. He gave what was called the Divrei Torah, and he would start crying at the end. And I was very confused. After I saw it the first time, I thought maybe he was emotional about whatever he was speaking about. But I was concerned after a few times of this, thinking maybe this was like part of some type of rabbi shtick. And I came over to the Rebbe, and I didn't know then that you have to have kavod for the Rebbe, and you have to speak to them in a certain way. And I spoke to him like I spoke to anybody else. And I said, Rabbi, I have a real question for you. He said, yeah, sure. I said, you know how you were just crying? Rebbe said, yeah. I said, why do you do that? He said, what do you mean? I said, why at the end of every shiur you start crying? And the reason why I was asking was because I really loved him. And I really felt that this could be my Rebbe. And I really thought that this could be the answer to my prayers. And that I could have a very, very long time connecting to Hashem, b'zchut, this person. And I was concerned about something that I thought might not be genuine. And I asked him. And I saw from the seriousness of his response, no, I didn't even realize I was doing it. I just got emotional as I was speaking. And when I realized that that was real, and he does that every day, all the time, That was it. This was my Rebbe. And I just want to say thank you to the Rebbe's wife and to the Rebbe's children, who he loves so much. And I just want to give everybody the message that the Rebbe gave us, that we should live with this forever and every day. There's a lot to live for. There is much that we have to do. And by the Rebbe, that didn't mean that we have to plan for years and years to do something crazy. The Rebbe said, just do it. You came up to him, I have an idea. Okay, go ahead, do it. Yeah, but what about all the planning? What planning? Just start. And then tomorrow, you'll do it again. That the koach of the Rebbe was that he did the best that he could at every moment. And all of those moments piled up, and it became the birth of the spiritual, emotional, psychological, physical life of countless, countless Jewish people that the Rebbe loved with an infinite love. I remember somebody asked me, how do I know Hashem loves me? And I didn't answer him this because Rav Walkin wasn't his Rebbe, but thinking back now, when you saw how much the Rebbe loved, and you know that he was his son. So if he loves me that much, and he loves all of us that much, then it must be that Hashem also loves us. And also with an infinite love, and an infinite amount of compassion, and will do whatever it takes for any person at any given moment, and that he thinks about you constantly all the time. And it wasn't real for me until I met the Rebbe. There's no words that are going to do it justice. There's nothing that we can do or say that can speak to the power of the Rebbe, the koach of the Rebbe in each of our lives. And the fruit will continue to bear out for all of us, not just in our time, but for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. And I just want to say thank you to everybody here that the Rebbe brought us all together. And I'll end with this. Many people think holiness means you learn a lot of Torah. Many people think holiness means you grow out a big beard and you wear black and white. Holiness is when you can unite Jews together. Holiness is when you can take different types of people from all around the world, all different backgrounds, all different cuisines, all different emotional capabilities and intellectual understandings, and put them all together in one place. And that we all feel connected to Hashem. We all want to grow. We all feel one. We all feel loved. And that goes to show the true, genuine holiness of the Rebbe, that there was no limits to it. Because here we are all now together, completely different people as one. And this was the koach of the tzaddik that was Rav Aaron. Thank you everybody for listening to me, and thank you to the family of the Rebbe, and to his children. You guys are with me in my heart every day, and I hope I make you guys proud. Thank you so much.
One of the Rebbe Zatzal's excitement was to see children. When you see children, he would have this aura, this special light. He always had a special light, but even more so. And I'll never forget the video that went viral of the Rebbe Zatzal visiting Yeshiva Shari Tzion with hundreds of kids. And he starts giving them brachot, and they're all like a magnet, connect to the Rebbe. And today we have the zchut of having his Talmud, Rabbi Ephraim ben Mordechai Shlita, the Rav at Od Yosef Chai as well.
that I remember for many, many years when I was a bach, when I was a student in Yesode, I would go there special for Sunday mornings for the Parsha Shir, and Rabbi Ephraim ben Mordechai, you know, behind the scenes was able to put it together. So without further ado, Rabbi Ephraim ben Mordechai.
Did you ever experience a moment in life when you have so much to say that you don't even know what to say? This is exactly what I'm feeling right now. Trying to think, I did not prepare at all, did not think that I'm going to be speaking. But there's so much that I want to say that I don't even know what to start from. One very tremendous thing that I've learned when you're growing up in a yeshiva as a Bukhari and Sfari boy, it's not so pashut. Especially when you're going to an Ashkenazi yeshiva, you're singled out. You feel different. So you always have to try to either be like them or isolate yourself from them. And I was always thinking when I was growing up as a bachur in the yeshiva, perhaps maybe this is not the place for me. I want to go to a place where everybody is accepted, a famous yeshiva, where you can walk around and say, I went to this yeshiva, that yeshiva, Lakewood, Mir, Staten Island. Baruch Hashem, I had chaverim that actually went there, a lot of these yeshivas, yeshivot. And as I got older, I said to myself, Baruch Hashem, I did not end up there. And I'm not sure if I would have been to the little that I have today, if I would have been in these places. Why? Because when a Talmid feels isolated and not connected to the crowd, he feels disconnected. Mimili, he feels like there's nothing that he can do, but there's nothing special that can come out of him. We had a Rebbe like Rabbi Aaron Walkin. The Ma'ala, one of the Ma'alot that I'll tell you, he hated when somebody would single out or make a difference between a Sfaradi or Ashkenazi. He would always say, what difference does it make? I still remember him saying it. The voice resonates. What difference does it make? You're Sfaradi, Ashkenazi, Bukharian, Moroccan, Persian. You're a Jew. And I believe that the only reason, interesting, in the Baruch Hashem over here we have Sfaradim and Ashkenazim sitting together. When I hear individuals singling out in yeshivas, oh, he's Sfaradi, but he's Ashkenazi. I never understood that. What difference does it make? And I think the only reason why I was able to do Zvoche, not only myself and all the other Talmidim, to become what I've become is only because the Rebbe himself, he did not differentiate between Sfaradi, Ashkenazi, Bukhari. He loved everyone. Like his son. I had the privilege to give my son as the sandak for the walking. The walking was the sandak to my son. And it's interesting, I was thinking, in the order of sandakut, I had a Rebbe that I grew from also before Rebbe Walking. And technically he was supposed to be the one to be next in line to get the Sandakut. I always said to myself as a Bachur, when I have my sons, I want to be able to be the Zakeh, all my people that I felt like I grew from. Hashem have answered my prayers, Baruch Hashem. And one Rebbe that I was supposed to give Sandakut, at that moment for some reason I had some type of feeling I should give it to Rabbi Walkin instead. After he was niftar, now I understand why Kadosh Baruch Hu made it that way, that he should come first, because I had another son about 5 months, 6 months ago, and if he would have been the one to take the sandakut, unfortunately he would not be here. So Kadosh Baruch Hu made it that way, where the son that really other one was supposed to take his sandak, Rabbi Walkin was the one to take it, and I'm very, very happy for that. Just to tell you the experience of that, Rabbi Walkin used to have a minhag. He would not sleep at night. Besides the fact that he wouldn't sleep at night every night, as is, I remember coming to his house, I would see his chair. We would sleep there. I would always wonder, Rabbi, how do you sleep here? Don't ask questions. But the night of Sandakut, the night that he knows that he has to be a Sandak the next day, he does not sleep at night. Davins, he learns the night before. This is exactly what happened. I was Mazaki and to be the Sandak for my son, so he didn't sleep at night. He comes in the morning. That experience, I will never forget. The people that were there will never forget. I'm sure you have experienced it yourself. But he sits down there, he takes the baby, and he cries and cries and cries and cries. The inspiration that he gave, and we witnessed something that will, and I'm sure has, left a big impression on people. So much so, my brother calls me and he says, "What do you think? I saw that Rabbi Walkin was a sandak for your son. I want to give him the sandak also." I said to myself, "I don't know. Maybe, why not? Ask him. He's not your Rebbe. He's my Rebbe. So I want to give him the sandak." Just to show you the greatness of Rabbi Walkin. So okay, try. He calls the rabbi and he says, I want to be mezakeh to your sandak. This famous story happened with my brother. The famous story that you heard. And the rabbi called me. I'm standing in the classroom before I'm about to teach. I see Rabbi Walkin calling me 7:45 in the morning. It's not like him to just call me randomly. I would pick up the phone and says, "What do you think about this? I just got a phone call from your brother. He wants to be mezakeh me to be the sandak. However, I don't know. He told me if it's the din, perhaps not." To make a long story short, he agreed to be the sandak. Then, on the day of the sandakut, he calls me in the morning again at 7:45 in the morning. I pick up the phone. Rabbi, shalom aleichem, shalom aleichem. I made a decision. This is already when he came to Queens, driving after not sleeping the entire night. Driving to Queens, he said, "I made a decision. I'm not going to take the sandakut. I'm going to give it to the Rav. Since the Rav is the Rav of your brother, I'm going to give it to him." I said, "No, it's not. I don't think my brother's going to be happy with this. Don't worry about it, I'll convince him." He came to Queens. He stopped my brother, he called him up. He took his phone number, that's why he called me. Took his phone number down. He calls my brother, he comes and he starts begging him, "Please, I want you to do the right thing. I don't want to be hurting this other Rav who you grew from. I'm going to hurt him. That's the last thing I want to do. And trust me," he says, "with the zechut of this, your son will be a big tzaddik." My mother agreed. The Rav Lassau was shocked. And the rest is history. I don't think any one of us sitting here, at least myself not, will give up this zechut after staying up the whole night, learning the entire night, thinking you're going to be the sandak, driving 2.5 hours from Lakewood, and giving the sandakut to somebody else. This is Rav Aaron Walkin. There's another point that I would like to share. Rabbi Aviv, you should not have given me the microphone. There are certain things that we think are pashut that are not so pashut. I called Rabbi Walkin. I have a very serious question that I thought in my mind for sure Rabbi Walkin will say, "Get rid of this person." We had an individual in yeshiva who happened to have some shaykhut to children. And there's something that this person did which I'm not going to tell you, but something that I'm sure I'll ask everyone over here. What do you think? Should this person be in yeshiva and be someone that's close to Yaldei Israel? For sure, each and every one of you will say, "Get rid of him." I said, "I want to call Aaron Walkin." I called Rabbi Walkin and said, Rabbi, this is the situation. When I told him the story, and I wish I could relate to you what really the details, all the details, but when I told him the story, he told me, I said, of course, I was thinking, he's going to say, yeah, for sure, he can't be in the yeshiva. He stopped for a second. He said, this Sheila, I'm not the one that is going to answer. You have to call Rabbi Obel. I said, why? Why? The person is a Rasha. To my mind, you have to get rid of him. That's what we all think. He said, this is Afrayut. You're dealing with a person that has a wife, that has children. I'm not ready to simply say he's fired and get rid of his parnasa. This individual, he took Afrayut. He understood what responsibility is. It's not so simple just to get rid of a person. He took tremendous achrayut. When we brought him to Yeshivat Shaar Etzion, as soon as I opened the door to the first grade class, he opened, he saw the boys, he started crying. Tremendous love he had for every Jew, no matter who he was. Not only that, he connected with every single boy on every level. He was speaking to first graders. I was thinking in my mind, my Rebbe is so big in Torah. How is he going to connect to first graders? He connected with, my jaw dropped when I saw he connected with the first graders. Then we took him upstairs to speak to the third graders, sixth graders, seventh graders. He spoke to them for 2 hours. He didn't want to leave. They didn't want him to stop. It was going on and on and on. Well, I'm leaving off with this message. Something that is still ringing in my ears. My Rebbe always used to tell me, remember two names, and these two names are going to save you from trouble. Abaye v'Rav. Abaye v'Rav. Don't get into machloket. Just stick to Abaye v'Rav, and you'll see you'll be matzliach. And there's not a day in my mind that I don't think about these words, Abaye v'Rav. Anyone that knows him, he would always stay away from machloket. Even in the kollel, when we would get into arguments with chaverim and we would try to come to the Rebbe to take my side, he would never take sides. Never to take sides. And it would bother me when I was younger. Why not take sides? I'm right. He'll never take sides because, again, we're two brothers from different mothers and fathers, but he loved us as though we were his children. We were his children. May we bezad Hashem to be inspired from all these stories that we hear, to become better people, to take upon ourselves more and more Yirat Shamayim and Torah, and may this be a Meretz Yosher for a Rabbi. Baruch Hashem Ben Olam, Amen. Zagavon
for
a very
friend, Mordechai.
Morai Rabotai, as I mentioned, mixing it up. The former Abrechim, the current Abrechim, we have with us Rabbi Tomer Zeno. Rabbi Zeno, I remember joining the yeshiva, Rabbi Walkin, who had a very special love to all the Abrechim.
But with that, let's do Rabbi Zeno, please.
I remember as if yesterday, I was speaking to Rabbi Yaniv. I was about to get married. And I was wondering, where am I going to have a Sfaradi Halacha Kolel? I just recently moved to Queens. I was thinking I'm going to have to all the way to Brooklyn, all the way to Israel. I want to learn Halacha. I want to learn from somebody who can give me according to my tradition. I just came back from Yeshiva Gedola Pesach, and Rav Yaniv tells me, you're not going to believe it. You're going to have a yeshiva 5 minutes away from your house. There's going to be a rabbi coming all the way from Lakewood. And he's going to come teach you. He's Ashkenazi, but he knows everything for Sfaradim. And he's going to teach you, and he's going to have a kolel. And it was like a miracle. It came from Shamayim. And a lot of times, being very honest, when you come from yeshiva and you come from a big place like I was coming from, a lot of times people fall through the cracks. A lot of times people are very judgmental. A lot of times you have to fit the part, you have to fit the mold. You have to play it at the level everyone's playing at. And it rubs off on you. And you're around this kind of place, around these kind of people. It rubs off on you. And you could also sometimes be judgmental. And you could also sometimes expect better from people all the time or most of the time. But when I met Rebbe, just from speaking to him after a few minutes, I never met such a person in my life. And I think, like people have been mentioning it in the speeches, you only realize after what he did to you, after you learned with him for a while. It was so good, the teaching was so good, it got to your heart every time. And you would only walk in the street while you're talking to yourself, thinking to yourself, wow, I really changed a lot. Wow, going here every day really means something. And a lot of times I used to read, everyone loves reading the Svarim about the Gedolim and their stories. And I always thought about how we read about the rabbis in the Gemara, how they would learn for days and nights. And you read stories about Gedolim from Europe who would do Mesirat Nefesh for Torah and who would not eat and not sleep. And I thought that this is something that you read in the books and they stay in the books, and those publishers will make nice books for people to read. But I never realized that there was such a thing that was really real. And the thing I needed most in my life in that moment was Torah to be real, for a Rebbe to be real, for my friends to be real, because that's what everybody wants. Everybody wants something real. We're all working so hard for to make our lives better and to make our lives mean something, and a lot of times it could be missing reality. It could be missing the realness to it. And the Rebbe gave me that realness to me. How real he was with me. Every time he would say a Dvar Torah to me, every Chumashir, he gave his heart on a platter to every single person. I'm a very emotional person. I didn't even know. I came to Rebbe and I was crying every time. Every time. I never heard the Dvar Torah like that in my life. It was real, it was really real. Because when you're learning and you're learning and you have a lot of pressure and you have a lot of things distracting you, when you hear something real like that, it gives you so much motivation. And you say, look, this person learned, this person worked. Look what kind of person he is. It's real. Everything I learned in those stories about the Gedolim, they're real. It's not something in heaven. You could get it. To be a person who knows so much, I would bother him and bother him and bother him and bother him. And it was never a bother. I would call him about my own personal issues. I would call him about halachic things. I would ask him pshat and tosfot. He's always there, always. He never missed a beat. I would say, Rebbe, it's already 1 o'clock in the afternoon and you're teaching and teaching and teaching. You didn't sleep the night before. You're writing up things that in the middle of the night, and you're teaching for 4 hours in the morning. Like, how are you not falling on your face? And he would tell me, if you love everybody like your children, you wouldn't think about how tired you are. You wouldn't think how sick you feel. Because it was so real to him. That's why all these things didn't matter to him. And I see his children today, and I want to thank them and his wife, the Rebbetzin, because to leave your family for so long and to drive all the way and to be Moser Nefesh so much, so I can have a real life, so I can have a meaningful life. And by extension, it's because of you guys. And I really want to thank you so much for everything, the Mesirat Nefesh, you guys did. Because we know that all these things only come out afterwards. You hear these stories, you hear these personal things. And I am who I am today because of my rabbi. It's very simply put, he's the most real rabbi I ever had. And I don't know what zechut, like many people said, I don't know what zechut I had, but it fell from Shemaim, it was a miracle. I want to end off with something that is nogea to this. I remember that speaking about how it's very easy to be judgmental, and especially in Queens, you have very different flavors of people. You have very different people with different backgrounds. And me coming to Queens, it was very difficult for me, and I thought that, you know, you have to leave like everybody else. You have to go to wherever else, everyone else is going. And the Rebbe said, I came specifically here to learn with you guys. To learn with you because you want. And he would, any person would walk in, he would sit them next to him, and he would give them love and shalom aleichem, and get up for them and ask them. I remember for a month I was going through something, and every day he would sit me next to him and ask me like as if he's my father. So knew what happened today and what happened today, and knew and tell me, let's go. What are you good? Are you good? Everything's okay. What's bothering you? What's bothering you? And my life changed. The way I viewed people, the way I dealt with people, the way I gave attention to people changed only because of him. I could read Mesil Disharim, and I could read about these stories from the Gedolim, but to see something real like that is, I think, is the biggest Kiddush Hashem. I think is the biggest building of Talmidim, and I think it's the biggest, like we mentioned before, someone mentioned before, finishing Shas, and we are his Shas. I think it's his greatest, one of his greatest accomplishments, if not, that he made so many Talmidim who now have all his midos and continue it and spread it to more in the world. So it's as if he didn't leave. Because we keep saying over what he said, and we keep helping the people that he helped. The last thing I want to mention is, after everything was said and done, and we were all tired, and we all worked so hard, and the Zman was over, he made sure everybody was happy. He made sure everybody was happy. He saw anybody with a complaint in his face, he made sure everybody was happy. And he always instilled in us, learning has to be that you're happy when you're learning. And you show up to Kolo, it had to be you're happy in Kolo. There's no such thing, he would say, if you would show up to Yeshiva and you wouldn't be happy, we would happily throw you out. Because learning and connecting to Hashem and Avodah Zarah has to be besimcha, with love. And he was the expert at doing that because he was so real. And he made it real for you. And Bezat Hashem, all the Talmidim should continue to perpetuate his teachings, perpetuate his love, perpetuate his midot. And we should all be zocher to make him proud. And I want to thank the family, I want to thank the Rebbetzin, I want to thank everybody who put this together. And thank you so much for listening to me.
Beautiful words.
Baruch Hashem, one of the schuyot to have in life is to introduce many gedolim, rabbanim. You know, Chaz Hashem, I think it's safe to say I had the schuyot to basically introduce every big rabbi in the world, more or less. But one of the hardest introductions for me is introducing my older brother, Rav Ilan. He always gets upset at me for adding too much. And we all know his kesher, how close he was to the Rav Zatzal. And we all know that he's the publisher of the Sfarim, of the free land which we have. In Chod Pesach, available for everyone tonight, Bezat Hashem, dedicated memory of the Rav. And I'll end it at that, even though there's much more to say, Rav Ilan.
Moray v'Rabotai, you know, Baruch Hashem, we heard all the young Rabbanim speaking till now. Everything they said was mamash 100% emet l'amito. There's no exaggeration about Rabbi Walkin's love, his determination, his mesilut nefesh. I want you to understand, to go from Queens to Lakewood, some of the guys did it today to go to his kever. Rabbi Isaiah couldn't talk already. My back hurts, my this hurts. I know when I do it, almost like you always need physical therapy, Bemet. It's not kal. A 2-hour drive there, 2-hour drive back. And he used to do it basically every single day. Sunday night, then again Monday, then Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday. Every day he did it for a few years. Until Yaniv had a little rachmanut and got him a little dinky apartment here in Main Street. Rabotai was real mesirut nefesh. Real Mesirut Nefesh. We don't realize it until after he passes away. But it was real Mesirut Nefesh. I want to share with you a very small thought to make you understand why the Rosh Yeshiva's job is very, very difficult. He had a very difficult job. I'll tell you why. You know, we read in Agadah Shel Pesach, right in the beginning, about 5 Tanaim that stayed up the whole night to talk about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Ma'aseh Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon. These are the 5 rabbis. All night long they stayed up. Yitzhak Mitzrayim, talking about the stories of Egypt, the miracles of Egypt. And then the students came and said, oh, Rabbeinu, rabbis, it's time for Kriyat Shema. Shacharit is already time. You lost track of what time it is. Moray v'Rabotai, the question is very simple. Are they the only 5 rabbis that stayed up? I'm sure there were many other Tanaim, many other Amoraim. I'm sure there are many Rishonim and many Gdolei Yisrael in our generation. Okhaba, Rabobam. Okhaba. I'm sure there's many great tzaddikim from all the generations that stayed up the whole night learning about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. What's special about these 5 rabbis? There's many beautiful answers. I want to share with you one tonight. Who was Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Eliezer came from a family of multi-millionaires. His father was a very wealthy man. Rabbi Eliezer did not know Shema Yisrael till what age? 28 years old. Till 28 years old, he did not know how to say Shema Yisrael. What your 4-year-old, the 3-year-old does, he didn't know till 28. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Who is Rabbi Tarfon? Rabbi Tarfon was a self-made multimillionaire. But his whole life he studied Torah. He had many excuses not to. All the businesses he had, studied Torah his whole life. That's Rabbi Tarfon. Who is Rabbi Yeshua? Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah, the Gemara tells us that when you walk into his house, the walls were dark, it was caving in. He was a very poor man. Mamash Ani Marut, a very poor person. Who was Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva, we know, was a ger, a family of gerim. He himself didn't know Aleph Bet till the age of 40 years old. And then we had Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who at the age of 18 already became a whole Rosh Yeshiva, became a Nasi. So the Agadah Shel Pesach is telling us, look at these 5 people, from all 5 different backgrounds. Very, very rich, but Am Haaretz. Very, very rich by learning Torah. Very poor in learning Torah. Family of Gerim and Am Haaretz of 40. A Rosh Yeshiva at 18. To tell us that everyone's Chayav B'Sibur Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Doesn't matter where you're standing in life, you gotta read that Gadah and talk about it as long as you can. But I want to ask you a question, Rabotai. Imagine those 5 people didn't sit when they were Gdolei Yisrael, because when this story happened, they were already, they were the Chacham Avadia and Chacham Kinevsky of the generation. They already renowned Gdolei Yisrael. But imagine they were sitting down with Rabbi Akiva when he was 39 years old, 40 years old. A total Am Haaretz. He was on the table. Along with Rabbi Yeshua, who was the tzaddik gadol, but he was very poor. Along with Rabbi Eliezer, when he was 28, didn't know Shema Yisrael. You think they would all sit together? And if they would sit together, would the communication be proper? It would be very difficult to communicate. Because he had Tamid HaChachamim, he had Am Haaretz. How do you communicate in such a shiur? It's impossible. So those 5 sat together when they were already, Baruch Hashem, up there in learning. Why am I saying this, Rabotai? Rabbi Walkin's greatness is that his shiur, you know, if you go to any yeshiva, go to the Mir Yeshiva, go to Lakewood, they have shiur Aleph, shiur Bet, shiur Gimel, this level, this level, this level. So the person giving the shiur knew he's talking to everyone at the same level. That means this shiur was for people that Baruch Hashem can handle this much. This shiur, people that can handle this much. The shiur that Rabbi Walkin gave here, you had people of all different levels. You don't realize, when it came to the Avrichim, over the years, the 20 years he was here, Always different levels. People that came from people that came from simple beginnings. When they came to Balabatim, we had such a mix of Balabatim. I would fill in sometimes to give a shiur instead of him. I was just praying that Rebbe would come back. It wasn't easy. I love Moshe and Yehuda, all those guys, Barry, Tzadikim, every single one of them. But this was a challenge. Because each one had his own style, each one needed his own derech. And I don't understand why he did it. Doesn't make sense to me. And the answer is very simple. Mesirut nefesh. Like all the speakers that said till now, all this Tamidim, Rebbe loved you. He cared about you. And he was going to give 110% until he drilled the point home. And that is something, Rabotai, we have to all learn from. I'll tell you one thing. I'll never forget. Someone walked in. I'm not sure who he was, but I think from Lakewood. He mentioned this to me. That he heard me say this in the Levaya. I want to repeat it here again. I'll never forget, Yaniv, 15 years ago. Oh, the Tavshin Nun Vav. Yeah? Samech Vav. Excuse me. Thank you, David. He knows all our dates. My anniversary, my birthday. God bless him. Right? David sends me reminders every time. Tavshin Samech Vav. Right? 2006. When we started Chazak, Yaniv was 15 years old. Nachon Yaniv, 15 years old, about 15, 16. And he put up his first ever flyer in Yeshiva Ol Simcha, in Rabbi Chaim of Shul. And that's when we had the call of Rabbi Walken over there. I'll never forget that the flyer was all the way in the women's section where the shir used to be given. Rabbi Walken walks in. And he finds his way to the table of the shul, and he notices the flyer, and he starts. I'm not sure who he called. It could be Nissan Gabriela or someone else. Take it down! Take it down! Take it down! And I walk over to him like, Rebbe, why take it down? He's like, Ilan, you spelled Chazak wrong. You spelled it with a Q. It should be with a K. I'm like, Rebbe, no, it's intentional. Like, what intentional? What are you doing? Take it down. Put a K over there. So I had to try to explain to Rebbe, it's not a mistake. Yanni, I know he's in high school, but he knows what he's doing. The Q meant Queens. Chazak Q, Queens. And Rebbe Walken with his wit responds, but yeah, but Chazak is not just for Queens, it'll be for everywhere. Again, we never did anything yet. That was the first ever shul. Nothing ever happened yet. It's going to be across the globe. And then he says, but you know what? Keep the Q. All in a second. Because one day when you become Bezrat Hashem inspiring people around the world, they should know you started off in Queens. And you should know Rebbe's last shiur 3 days before he passed away. I think it was a Monday night, if the Rebbe remembers, it was during the pandemic, right? Mamash, beginning the pandemic. Rabbi Elbaum spoke there, Rabbi Israeli and Rav David Yosef, it was all through video, it wasn't in the shul, from their houses. And if I'm not mistaken, Yaniv, it was 19,000 people watch Rabbi Walken Shiur. 19,000. So when we're talking about it, it wasn't Queens. It was no matter around the world. Like the Rebbe really, again, he didn't know what he was saying. He was making a joke at the time. Almost Shechinat Dibel Migrono. That the Shiurim will go across the world. And Rabotai, we lost him. It was a tremendous loss. A tremendous, tremendous loss. But the Mesirut Nefesh, I will tell you, every single young rabbi that was sitting here, many that are not here, they all will try to follow his footsteps of giving whatever they could for Am Yisrael. Because that's what we saw from him. He never gave up. He never ever said no to anyone. Doesn't matter when you call him, what the problem is, he was always there for you. And I remember when we asked, when Rebbe opened up his Bet Midrash here in Queens, after he had a break of not being here, we asked, what was the point of it? Like, what's the idea? Why do you need a Bet Midrash in Queens? Okay, Beseder, you know, you go to Chavetz Chaim, you go here, or Chaim. You have Yeshivot here. What was the idea of this Bet Midrash? And not only that, we felt bad. I mean, to take him away from the rabbits and the kids, it's not a pashut. But they were masking. And Rabbi Walken said to us, he says, Ilan, there's so much being done for public school kids. So much being done to have lectures. You know, you have a shiur on a Sunday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, for men, for women. But where's the real Torah being taught? Where are people sitting down learning Gemara, learning Halakha? Not lectures. Learning, mamash learning. Because if you're going to have a community where they have lectures, where they have public school outreach, then where's the leadership? And when he said leadership, he did not just mean rabbis. He really believed that you have to have balei batim that have proper ashkafa. Says, because if you're going to have Rabbanim and no Balabatim as warriors, as soldiers to fight, what's it worth? Therefore, he used to give shiurim every morning. And you saw the Misirut Nefesh. Moshe's died, remember? We were talking at the dinner, was it 5 years ago? About how his goal is when he's 33, he'll be learning all day long. How old are you now, Moshe? 30, we have 2 more years, Bezal Hashem. And he said, I want to learn all day long, Bezal Hashem. And he was telling me at the time that he never found himself. Like he mentioned before, but Rabbi Walkin was a magnet. All his friends were there, coming in every single day. Now it's not easy, Rabotai. I don't care if you're running your own business, you're working for someone else, to come and learn till 11, 11:30 every day is not easy. It's not easy. It's Mesirut Nefesh. And that's what they did. They did it because they felt loved by Rabbi Walkin. The Rashiva gave them the love. And Baruch Hashem, he saw every single one of them grow at their own level, doing Daf Yomi, but really learning. We were in Israel right before the pandemic started. Right, Moshe? It was a week before the pandemic started, approximately. And I remember we came home late at night, and I would see Rafael Yusupov, not exaggerating, sitting in one corner of this house that we rented out, sitting and doing the Daf Yomi, and Yaniv was hiding in the basement of the doing Daf Yomi. And why? Because we want to get back to Queens and make sure we're catching up with Rabbi Walkin Shiul or the other Shiul that they're going to. That's what Rabbi Walkin did. He engraved Torah in their hearts. And Baruch Hashem, you see the Perot. It's a tremendous loss not to have the Rashiva with us. But we're going to go weiter. We're going to go weiter. Keep going strong. Bezrat Hashem. And I want to just thank Be'emet, the Rabbanit, the Rebbetzin, for your Mesirut Nefesh to give him away to us. It's a tremendous, tremendous Hakarat HaTov we have for you and the children, Be'emet. For allowing us, Baruch Ber, you're part of the yeshiva. You know, we want you to stop by once in a while as well now also, Bezrat Hashem. You're a very important part of the yeshiva. And it means a lot to us, Be'emet Chazak Baruch, for you guys giving us your father all this time. I want to also thank Be'emet Mikol HaLev, Eddie Yaakov Be'emet, for giving us a shul. We've broken a few things, destroyed a few things. You got us a sfarim, you're helping support the Avrichim. Be'emet Chazak Baruch on that. Bezrat Hashem, we should be zoche, every single one of us, to be Marbitz Torah, Bezrat Hashem, Hashem Shamayim. And we should be zochet to continue Rabbi Walkin's legacy, to keep it going strong, and we should continue with Marbit Torah v'cheni ratzon v'lomar amen.
Shekach, Rabbi Ilan Shlita. Moreover, it's not an exaggeration to say that the Rav Noach Isaac Obam Shlita was a shutav, was a partner, together with the Rav Walkin Zatzal, with Chazak's mission of saving every single Jewish child that's in public school. We have Reb Ephraim over here, director of Yeshiva Placement. How many meetings have there been with Gedolim and Rabbanim, where the Rabbanim together, Rabbi Obam, Shlita, and Rabbi Walkin Zatzal, came and told them about the importance of this project? Okay, so at this time, I think we're going to have a powerful video.
This is the greatest rule of the Torah, the number one rule in the Torah is v'yahavta l'reyecha kamaycha. Zeh klal gadol means there's got to be a klal katan. And what is the klal katan? Kedoshim to you. Thank you.
What made the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal so unique was the fact that he was not only a tremendous, tremendous Tamid Chacham and a person with a heart that truly cared for every single person that he came across.
Rebbe was a real Talmid Chacham, a real Gaon, a real Yid.
Always looking to help people, always with a smile, always positive.
His smile, his love for every single Jew is something that I've never seen before in my life.
I wish you all.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Rebbe cared about every single Yid as if they were his own child.
My Rebbe, Rabbi Aaron Wolkin Zatzal, had such a mastery over so much of the Torah.
Our Rebbe's Yediyot BaTorah was so vast, there was no topic in Kol HaTorah Kula that was too big or too small. He knew everything. What a great Talmid Chacham.
Our Rebbe was a tremendous Harif, and his Harifut would be appreciated in the greatest of yeshivot.
My Rebbe, Rav Aaron Wolkin Zatzal, was not a Kohen, but he was definitely an Aharon. He resembled the quality of Aharon HaKohen, who was Ohev Shalom Verodev Shalom.
There's no soldier like the Jewish soldier. I may add, because there's no heart like the Jewish heart. And there's nothing like Yisrael, Mikanchu Yisrael, Goy Echot. We are one nation, Baretz.
He was always, always positive and happy to teach us.
Anything he taught, Chumash, Gemara, Halachot, I just want to hear more of it and more of it and more of it.
To stay the whole week in Queens while his family was in Lakewood showed us what real, real Mesirut Nefesh was.
He taught me how to learn and most importantly, to love learning.
And what Torah transforms a person to be an Adam HaShalem, an Adam, an Mensch.
He wouldn't stop, he would continue, and he would tell us, you gotta continue, you have to be Marbitze Torah.
My Rebbe, he had real Ahavat Israel. In front of the Torah, he used to cry. He used to cry on behalf of Klal Israel.
He felt for others deeply, so much so that he would literally cry with you.
He needs to not only think of himself, but he needs to think of the Klal, and even the rest of the world, Goyim, as well.
That's what made Rebbe so unique and so different than the rest.
How much we all changed ever since we met the Rav.
And that's all thanks to Rabbi Walken.
Thank you, Rebbe.
The way he taught me to look at the good of every single person will stay with me forever.
And I can say he changed my life for the good.
And this is the kind of person that we had the schutz to have in our lives. Somebody that just kept on giving to us and giving to us and giving to us.
It's sad that he left us too soon.
I will definitely miss him.
We should keep on carrying his name on and making him proud.
He is one that will forever be with me. I love you, Rebbe. We miss you.
Thank you.
be in our hearts and our memories.
Rav Aharon Wolkin, Zecher Tzadik Livracha.
Zecher Tzadik Livracha.
And we long to see you, Bezat Hashem, soon, when Mashiach comes.
Very hard. But we need to continue the legacy of the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal. It's my mission. The Rav would always tell me, let's build a big yeshiva. We want to continue the legacy. The children are doing a great job. I'm very proud of them, I gotta tell you. Starting the Leib Aharon Foundation, as you see over here, which will continue the Rav's legacy. We're going to be in Mitzvah Shem printing many Sfarim, Chidushei Torah, on the Parsha, on the Yom Tovim, on the Gemara. We're going to have a biography. We have a whole library online. More Arutai people should get involved in this amazing project to continue building the Bet Midrash, the Kolo. We have to take the community to the next level. The Rav would always tell me, and this is not a pitch for fundraising, Chassid Shalom. We told that to everyone. This is not what we're here for. But we got to continue the Rav's legacy of building a strong Yiddish guide in our community. Moreover, Botai, our community has a lot of potential. We can mamash move mountains. We can bring the Gula. I have no question about it. Whatever we've done up until now is amazing. But I guarantee you and I promise you, we do 100 times more. But like Rabbi used to always tell me, we have to build an army, a massive army. A lot of people to get involved, whether it's learning Torah, whether it's teaching Torah, whether it is doing Kiruv. We all know the whole pandemic that we have in our community. I'm reiterating the pandemic we have in our community, which is 10,000 neshamot in public schools. It's a pandemic. It's a problem. We need to stop it. We're on the right track. Rabbi Ephraim, what's the number? Give us some chizuk. What's the current number? 996 kids b'li enav in the last 4 years. From Bible school to yeshiva, from yeshiva to yeshiva, whatever it may be. More of that, but we're only 10%. You know, if your kid comes home to you and he tells you, I got a 10 on my test, 10%, right? I don't think we'll be clapping for him. We could do much more. And we will be doing much more. But it's not a one-man show, and it shouldn't be on one person's shoulders. We need to build an army and position. We're going to do that, and we need everyone to get involved. I want to thank AK Studio for putting together the video beautifully. A comment of the Rav, Avram Amramov. He took it upon himself to also do a documentary, an interesting concept I've seen for the Fugadome that they did recently, to do a documentary of his life, about an hour long. It's going to be done. How long, Avram? We're putting in the spot. About 6 months, Bezat Hashem. Okay, in 6 months, Bezat Hashem, we're going to be publishing that. We're going to ask right now, Reb Nissan Gavrielov is a Rav in Starrett City. He's involved with Be'er HaGola, where I know the Rav visited a few times. And he got so much nachas. I know that Shlomo, your Rebbe, is from there, right? One of the Rebbeim you learned with? Rabbi Fishman. So Be'er HaGola, right? So Be'er HaGola is a very special place in the Rosh Yeshiva's heart, Zatzal. So, Rabbi Nissan, just a few quick words, we would appreciate it, please.
Okay, thank you very much, Rabbi Yaniv. You're putting me on the spot. Okay, so what can I say? Okay, our Rabbi, Rav Wolkin, he was like a father for us. I remember from 1994, when we came to Rav Chaimov's yeshiva, He was Rosh Kollel in the yeshiva, and then later on he would give us he gave us a smicha program. We had us with the smicha together with him, okay, with the basar v'chalav and everything. Okay, but there was something unique about him. He wasn't just you know, Rebbe. He was everything. He was like a friend. He was a father. You know, he was like a father figure. Everything that we had in our hearts, we would tell him. Everything that You know, he would be open with us. We would, any time, like, he knew every person's problems, you know, and he was there to help us. He was always there to help us. I remember when I heard last year, I don't know, you know, I was like so sad and sad and crying. But it was malach like losing a father. It was very, very sad. Anytime, anything we had, we knew who to call. There was somebody to call, you know, Rav Wolkin. He was always there for us to speak to talk to. Okay, but the best thing, what we can do, Rabotai, we could, like Rav Yaniv said, to continue his legacy, to continue. Of course, we could be Mechazak, the Chazak, yeah, the Yeshiva. The yeshiva and Rav Wolkin was always involved with it. So I think if we will be mechazek the organization and also the chazak and also the yeshiva, of course this will be a great nachat for the yeshiva and our rabbi. Okay, thank you.
You know. In the film, if you recognize, you can recognize me in the film, wearing the polo shirt, and that's how I started coming to yeshiva. Rabbi, he said, "This is how you're gonna dress, and you want to come to yeshiva?" He said, "Tomorrow you're coming with a suit and tie, fresh shirt." That was that. You know, all the speakers say Rebbe was a father. He was a father. He was a father to us. But, you know, he more so me because of similarities between him and my own father. You know, the reason I call Rebbe my father is because of similarities between him and my own father, and that he was a father to me. Because without him, I wouldn't be able to write the Chiddush Torah right. Rebbe was grooming me to be a real Avreich, to give Shiurim. Now Rabbi Ilan is pushing me in that direction. Every morning I would come to Yeshiva. Rabbi Kalmus knows this. He can vouch for this. I would give Rabbi Kalmus a big hug. Then I would give the Rosh Yeshiva a hug. Sometimes it was in reverse. Sometimes I changed it up a little bit. But I would come to you, I would come to yeshiva, and always I would run to give the Rosh Yeshiva a hug. I think Rebbe's children would be mad at me if I didn't share the Danish story. You know, Rebbe would see me take a couple of Danishes. And he see me take one Danish, two Danish. He said, two? That's not enough. I have 30. Rebbe literally changed my life. I've been to yeshiva before. I've been to Sameach in Yerushalayim. But being in Rebbe's yeshiva, I don't know what gave me the schus. I really don't. You know, Rebbe really changed my life. I've had other Rebbeim. I've learned from other Gedolim, but learning from Rebbe really helped me come out of my own shell. You know, so I just wanted to say thank you and Hukarstatov to the Rebbetzin, and I hope to carry on the legacy of my Rebbe and of my father.
Lior, you spoke beautifully. Good job, Lior Klein. Very, very impressive. You know, Baruch Hashem, back in the day, Rebbe Azariah was always running the go-to guy in the Bet Midrash. There was a question, I would call Rebbe Azariah, but today Baruch Hashem is learning with Rabbi Israeli in Bet Gavriel. And the new go-to guy, I guess, today is our dear friend, a board member of the organization, a guy that does so much behind the scenes. He was actually one of the top raisers at one of our campaigns that we just did for the Bet Midrash to continue it strong. I'm going to put him on the spot right now, our dear friend Levi Katanov, to come up just for a minute or two. I was going to do it to Isaac Abram, but he's right. He didn't really have the closest catcher, but I know Levi was there. Yakstikun.
I think everything was said about the Rebbe. I knew him for about a year, and he's always saying when I'm not there, call Levi, call the sushi guy, call the sushi guy. We miss him this year. He had a way with the students. Like everyone said, he had a way to connect with everybody at the lecture. So he would say one lecture that connected with the highest level and the lowest level at the same time. He was very persistent. He'd always say, even if somebody had to go to work, he'd always say, you know, stay for 5 minutes, 5 minutes. So we miss him. We miss him a lot. And I'm going to say that Rav Mansur took over, but it's not the same, but he's doing a good job as well. So whoever's around at that time in the morning, please stop by and learn with us. And Zat Hashem, my kol should grow bigger and bigger, and we should only see good things. All the best. Thank you, Eli.
Thank you, Levi John. Chazak Baruch, continue building the Bet Midrash. That's it. One of his projects. Moshe, you have a partner, Bezat Hashem. We need more partners to get involved with building this place. Mara Rodai, one of the new additions to the Bet Midrash, Baruch Hashem. And then we're going to end off soon, Mara Rodai. You're going to have here from the family as well. One of the sons are going to be speaking momentarily. But one of the new additions is Baruch Hashem. It's added a lot of flavor. I can mention this now. I hope it's okay to mention this, but to fill Rav Walken's shoes, we're going to need a lot of manpower. So Baruch Hashem, there's quite a few individuals that have started stepping up, but we're going to need a lot more. We're going to have Rabbi Fisher, who's joined the Bet Midrash, to say a few words, please.
Ashrei Shezachisi. It's a wonderful, wonderful schus for me to be part of this. It's more of a base Bet Midrash. It's really more like a movement. I have been a Masifta High School Rebbe for many years already. And the name Rabbi Walken has come up, Rabbi Walken Shlita, Rabbi Walken Zatzal, the name has come up again and again and again. The Hashpah, the influence, has affected many of my Talmidim. It's gone beyond, above and beyond what I've ever seen any person do. The influence that he's had. I walked into this Beis Medrash this year without ever having formerly spoken to Rabbi Walken, but his feeling, his learning, his av, his love has clearly permeated not just the individuals that come to learn on a daily basis, but the very walls of the Beis Medrash, of the Beit Midrash, are oozing with his ahavat Yisrael. I can feel it. Everybody else who's there, they've interacted with him on a daily basis. I have come in afterwards, and I can tell you that I felt that every other word that everybody says, Rabbi Walken said this, Rabbi Walken did that, Rabbi Walken told me this. It's unbelievable what one individual can accomplish in the years that he did. It's my schus to work now with Rabbi Mansur, attempting in a very humble way, I guess, to try and fill in to the best that we can in this legacy of Rabbi Walken. And I think, as everybody has mentioned on some level already, it's really more than a one-man job. It's more than a two or three or four-man job. Every person, every one of us, in our own capacity, in our own ability, should feel an achrayis, feel a responsibility to do whatever we can, however we can, to come into the Beit Midrash on a daily basis or on a weekly basis, to bring our friends in, to continue what Rabbi Walken himself so passionately pushed for. So from my perspective, coming in afterwards, the power, the feeling that was there, it's up to all of us to try and continue it. Thank you.
Yeshe Karach, Rabbi Fisher Shlita. I know he's been saying no, but Rabbi Zaria was a very close Talmid. We all know that. Rabbi Zaria Pinchasov has done so much for the yeshiva, for the Bet Midrash, for the community, for the Chazak J-Wave Teens Division. He's very much involved in running the show. Rabbi Zaria Pinchasov, please.
Everyone really said everything that could have been said. There's no secret to Rosh Yeshiva, really. like everyone said, he played a role not just as our Rebbe, as a father, and everything that we needed him to be. I'll say one of the last conversations I had with him, he wasn't doing well. So already the last 2 weeks we had the yeshiva before the yeshiva officially closed down. He wasn't well physically. He was just had his own complications, whatever it was. Found out what it was, trying to tackle it. Sure enough, the yeshiva closed down. And during those 2 weeks was the first time we noticed in 4 years the Rosh Yeshiva was showing it. Any signs that four and a half years we had with him, anytime he walked in, you could never tell anything was wrong. During private conversations we had, whether it was myself, Rav Nissan, or any other Avrechim, he mentioned, you know, I'm not feeling well, haven't slept enough, and was, again, many Rabbanim said it tonight, there was no secret. Rosh Yeshiva had many, many sleepless nights, whether it was coming from Lakewood or 2 days after he had some time to rest. He was mamish moser nefesh for our community. But again, during just the last conversation I had with him, it was mamish that the last day before he was the day before he was nifter. I couldn't tell during the conversation that he was not well. It literally had to take it out of him. Rebbe, how's Rebbe feeling? How's Rashiva feeling? He said not too well. He spoke about some of the boys that were in the hospital or by doctors, whatever it was, and that the love he felt for them and the concern he had for them, the concern he showed for the Avrechim. I mentioned a couple of Avrechim had the COVID at the time, and he started to cry like he would any time. That he asked me to make personal calls on his behalf. He just had he had no koach already. But there was no way for us to know obviously what was going to happen. But I know the first person that called me after we saw the message was Rabbi Kalmus. He couldn't believe the message was posted. It was quickly erased. I'm ranting a little. I'm sorry. I was put on the spot. I was texting Yaniv. I said, please don't put me on the spot. But he did. But again, the Maaseh, try to keep things short. It was a quick loss. It wasn't easy to digest. There are times that we wake up and we speak, and it's just amongst the Avrechim that are together today in another Bet Midrash and another Kolel. And it's like, you know, let's ask Rebbe. This has come up once, twice during the year. And it's like, but how? We don't have it. What Rebbe did for us, the unity that he created between the Avrechim, what he built for the community, and what his brother continues to put. I work with his brother now, Reb Avram, with the public school teams. What they've done for the community, there's no way to think. It'll just continue. You know, we wanted to say thanks to the Rebbetzin and to the brothers. I've spoken to some of you during the year. What you've given to us, there's no way we could ever repay you. Be'emet, I drove today to Lakewood, like Rav Ilan said. I can't imagine doing it again, you know, for a year, maybe 2-3 years. To know the Rosh Yeshiva did it when we started at the Kolel part. I don't know what happened the year before when it was just the Yeshiva, but I know the Kolel. Rosh Yeshiva was coming in twice a week. He came in on Sunday, stayed till Tuesday, returned to Lakewood, Wednesday morning, drove back. We're talking, he was going back 7 p.m., got there whatever time he got there to give the Lakewood Kolel this year, drove back in the morning for 8 a.m. Shachris. The Mesilut Nefesh, again, that he gave to us, there's no way we can repay him, nor the family. We just say thanks. Thanks so much.
Unbelievable to see you all. It's mamish. It's been a while. We should only see each other in Tzmachot. I asked one of the family members to speak, and we did a lottery, and we chose Yitzchak Walken. So Yitzchak Walken, please. I know many others wanted to speak. Time is of essence. We'll see.
I guess I didn't actually win the lottery. They just told me I'm going to speak. But once I'm up here, first of all, Ilan Chazak, thank you so much for hosting the Yard Site. It's you know, Queens was my father loved Queens. Didn't just start with Chazak, it started way back. Our grandparents are from Queens, but you know, started with Yigal Chaimov. And I remember as a little kid, Pinchas, remember Queens College, Tati used to take us to Queens College after Shir. So Queens was our heart. But you know, I know the speech before touched on being normal. What does it mean being normal? My father said, always be normal, be normal. And you know, everybody takes being normal differently. You know, you're in finance, there's the three L's. When you're in the world, it's live, love, laugh. My father said, live, love, laugh. But you also have to learn. There's four L's. He made sure we learn. Whether we're growing up, he always had to get us into yeshivas. Whether you had to argue with him that he got us in, we got ourselves into yeshiva. We all know he got us into every place we got kicked out of. But, you know, that was my father's definition of normal. Go enjoy life. Just be a good yid. And learn. His emphasis was on learning. You know, we finished the Siyum in Mashas. I can imagine. I remember thinking, I was like reading. I was like, Tati would have been so proud that he knew that, you know, we almost finished Masechtas. We paid people to finish Masechtas. Some of us made Siyumim, but we all learned. We all learned this year more than I could say we learned in Yeshiva, to a certain extent. And with that, I want to say, you know, what I took, and the number one thing I took, is Tati's learning. You know, for me, Tati was a normal person, but he's also learning. Every time he had a question in any sugya, whether it was a Rashi, whether it was a Rashi in Beis Medrash, but he always had the answer. He always knew, you know, every sugya. And that's, you know, if you're able to go to him, I remember like, even in college, I told him, like, Tal, let's learn. Lasted 2 weeks, but we learned. We learned once a week for 2 weeks. But it was any time you want to learn, he was always there. It was 2 o'clock in the morning on the way back from investment banking. I used to work late. He used to tell me, let's learn. Let's learn. We learned Sukkah. 3 block, 4 Sukkahs. Once a week. It was 2 o'clock in the morning on the way back. He always pick up the phone. He would say, let's learn. Let's do it. So, you know, that's one thing I want to share. Everyone says being normal. That's one thing I want to take. So with that, I want to say, you know, everyone took a lot from my father. Everyone understood different things. I think the family, we learned to be normal, and he tried to perpetuate on that to be, you know, normal, but also learn. With that, I want to say thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for coming. And thank you to my brothers for forcing me to speak. And Ma, thank you for everything. You know, you and the family. At the end of the day, you know, this year was a very tough year for all of us, I have to say. But the rock behind everyone getting through it, Ma, was you. It was you. You helped us. It was. You know, some might take extended vacations. Sometimes you don't like it. But ultimately, come back. But Ma, thank you. And I'm sure, I guess speaking on behalf of the rest of the family, Pechas, can I say thank you to Mommy for you? I'm kidding. You wouldn't even allow that. But Ma, thank you.
Yitzchak, good job, Yitzchak. After seeing Yitzchak on stage, Baruch Hashem, we have Shlomo now. Shlomo walking. That's also going to say a few words. I asked him to do a little bit of, to fill us in about the work he does. We're in touch. Shlomo, is it safe to say we're in touch every night? More or less? Is that safe to say? More or less, we're safe to say about projects to continue the Rav's legacy. I asked him to share with everyone about the work that's being done, the books that are being published, the website that's up and running already, and the vision, Bezat Hashem. Shlomo walking without further ado.
I'd like to just start something very important to my father. Something that was very important to my father was Hakar Satayim. Everyone's seen it. There's a lot of stories. There's a lot of stories about Hakar Satayim. My father expressed it wherever he went. Someone told me the other night that every time he saw him, he would express a certain sense of thank you for the one time he did something for him. He said it was very interesting because most times people move on, but he, every single time he saw him, he expressed the same thank you with real meaning and real. He showed the fact that he cared for him, and he expressed his hakar satayim. He used to give a shiur every Tuesday night, every Tuesday in Rav Gissinger's shul in Lakewood,
And when Rav Gissinger passed away, it was 6 months before he passed away. Before my father passed away, it bothered him very much. It bothered him very much that he wanted to show, in a certain sense, karsa tayv. He gave him the shul. There was a lot that he got from Rav Gissinger. So wherever he went, he carried with him a picture of himself and Rav Gissinger from the time that he passed away till my father passed away. And with this, he walked around. He showed everybody. It meant a lot to him. He was able to walk around. And he's done this a lot. I know in his study, he's kept a special drawer. Anytime someone gave him something, he had a special place where he would keep his things next to him. Another Talmud once gave him something, and he carried that bag that said his name on it wherever he went. So wherever he went, he was able to see and appreciate what his Talmidim has done for him. He lived with that midah of akarsa tayv. I say, we're publishing Sefer Bereishis. In the beginning, he starts off how the whole world was created for akarsa tayv to Hashem. And I would like to add that my father said over a very beautiful pshat on akarsa tayv. Said when we bring the bikurim, we bring one grape. We bring something small. We don't bring. If you want, you can add more. But all you have to bring is one grape. Question is, what's one grape? How's that akarsa tayv? How do you show akarsa tayv one grape? And also Rashi says that we say that we're not kafi tayv. Well, that's how you express your akarsa tayv, when you say, I'm not a kafi tayv. The answer is, my father said, when someone has done so much for you, to come and say, I know everything you've done for me, and I'm makir tayv, you're not really makir tayv. You have to be, you say, at least I'm not a kafi tayv. So you come with one grape and you show Hashem just a little bit giving to be makir tayv. Baruch Hashem, this past year we've been working very hard. The Levarim Foundation, we're putting out my father's Svarim. We spent the full year to organize his notes, all the shiurim that he's been giving, his tapes, 6,000 tapes. We've been working very hard. We've been working very hard to put out the audio tapes. We've made a website where people can go to go listen to the audio tapes, videos, shiurim, all the manuscripts. But the bigger projects that we're working on is the Svarim. Baruch Hashem, Sefer Bereishis, we're almost there. There's some sponsorship dedications available. If you want, you can speak to me after about the sponsorship dedications. We're moving on to Sefer Shemais. And hopefully by the next cycle, Sefer Bereishis, Sefer Shemais, we have some of the Halakha Svarim coming out. And I think it's a beautiful thing if all the Talmidim can get involved, contribute, and be part of this project. It's a project not just for him, it's for Queens, it's for everybody, it's for all the Talmidim, it's for Klal Yisrael. And with that, I'd like to say, you know, it's a big project for my father, and it means a lot that we have all the help from everybody. And Shmuel Tzayisha. Thank you. Thank you.
Well said.
Thank you.
Back in the day, Shmuel Aulov used to learn with Rabbi Walkin Zatzal from the community visit to him. We're going to ask him to say a few words. Naftali Berchi and Pinchas Gerardi.
My dear family, Erev Tov. This is the family that I grew up from since 1994-95. I remember when they used to live over here, not far from this neighborhood. And they moved to another location in Brooklyn, then across the street from Brooklyn, then Lakewood, all over. I was always with the family. I'll tell you one little detail and I'll finish with it. Rabbi Walken always had Mr. Utnevish, like there was a speaker before he said, our Rabbi Nissen, and everybody else that said. I remember those days we learned in Akhaim. That they didn't have, it was really cold nights and days, they didn't have heater work. And our walking was still calm. We all would wear our coats, hats, some of us even wore gloves. To write down the pshatim that Rabbi Walking would say, the hot air would come out from our mouth when Rabbi Walking would speak and we would ask questions. That's how much Mesirut Nefesh she had for learning Torah. All his life here, Mr. Rosen, from the beginning until the end. I just don't want to go through it. It's too much to go through it. I can go days and days on it. Because I knew him very well. I knew him personally. I used to go with him to different places. He would put on 10-10 wings. I said, why you put 10-10 wings? You know why? He said, I want to see how Hashem runs the world. I want to see how Hashem runs the world. That's what he was always concerned. It's a big loss for all of us. Sometimes on a weekly basis I get from Shlomo the weekly shiurim that come again to my WhatsApp channel, and I thank him for that because I go through it. Sometimes I read his speeches in Rabbi Wolkin Shul, the father, and I say from there a few things when Rabbi Wolkin is not there. But it's with it, so Dashlishi, I ran through it. I was running it the way Yanis is running it now. I was running it also there for our Rebbe. To me, he was like a father and everything. Anytime I would call him, I remember how he came to my wedding with the Rebbe. So she was pregnant and she was still dancing. That's how much they loved our family. And I thank them for all of that they have done for us. I can go stories. There's millions of stories, but I just don't want to take your time. Thank you all for coming. Let's stay together, stay strong, be happy with what you have, and always look forward to become more happy. All the best.
Chazak Baruch, Shmuel John.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.